And just someone just asked a second, Chazal and Brachas of Yibes and Beis, Kola Osa Dvaravera or Mizbayishbo Mochlin Ol Kolavanasov. So the Mochla all is Averis. So it seems you have an easy way to get rid of the Averis. Is it? Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of Chazal like that. There are a lot of Chazal like that. Chazal say Yisurim Makin Avonosov Shalodam. Okay? So what does that mean? Anytime a person gets sick or they have pain, they have yisurim, so this means that he's losing averus. I mean, it sounds nice, but I mean, how does it work? I mean, and why should it be that way? The answer to all these type of chazal is one answer to all the same a lot of chazal like that. What it means is, what it really means is that it's not the fact that he gets embarrassed, but it's a limud basically in Derech HaChaim in general, which means to say, which is a pasuk basically. The pasuk is Kasher Yasser Ishes Beno, or Hashem Lekecha Miasreka, and a lot of psukim like that. The psukim of in Tehillim, Otcha Kani Soni, Vatihili Lishua. I mean, all these psukim point to one concept. That means to say that a person, the person takes the Yisurim in a certain way, so then he can be Zocha to greatness. That's what it means. I mean, a person can be Zocha to greatness if the person takes the things that happen to them in a certain manner, in the proper manner. It means to say that things that people look at as the worst things are often the greatest opportunity, but people don't recognize it as such. People don't recognize it as such. It means that a person, generally speaking, is driven by the instinctual side of instinctual side of his nature. And really, I mean, the yisurim that a person gets help to change the individual's perspective. I mean, it's in many ways. I mean, what it does is it causes a person to withdraw from their attachments to the illusory gratifications, and it's the biggest chesed Hashem that many times that a person has yisurim, has troubles. If a person understands it and derives a limud from it, then it could really bring them to a whole different derech hachayim that they wouldn't have had before. I mean, when a person becomes immersed in the taivas, it's not just that they enjoy the taivas. That's a very superficial understanding of it. The taivas become a value in the person's life, and they start feeling that without this, they simply can't exist. I mean, a person that's an usher, generally speaking, I'm not talking about a Talmud Chacham, but a person that's an usher, that's an Am Haaretz, is usually becomes very attached to the Ashiras. I mean, the Ashiras becomes a part of their essence and what they are. And this is really the worst thing for the person, because it's a total distortion of what the human being really is. And the value system of the individual is distorted, and the person isn't living as a human being anymore. I mean, they became attached to a system which is simply not real. I mean, it's not real. It's not real means it's not geared for the person's life. I mean, a person has a certain type of bria, and as long as they live in line with that reality, then they're living the life of a human being. If they don't, they're not living the life of a human being. They're living a distorted existence. I mean, So many times when a person loses those things that have become embedded in their value system, So what happens is they recoil, and it's painful at first, but then they start realizing, and if they use their intelligence and their chachma, they start realizing, they start reflecting and thinking that these things really don't have any true value, and actually, the individual had made a mistake in thinking that their life is contingent upon these things. So therefore, the person withdraws, and if the person is fortunate and has chachma, they could reestablish their investment of energies into the real things of life, which is basically Torah mitzvahs. I mean, it's the person that does that and realizes the benefits of the value system of Yadus. So the fact that the person is removed from these things is the biggest bracha. That's why the taiva, the klal of the taiva, is not the enjoyment. The enjoyment is momentary. It's the value system that creeps up around it. I mean, I'll give you an example. I mean, if let's say, for instance, a person enjoys a nice car. They wouldn't imagine having a car with a roll up window. I mean, it's like it's ridiculous. Like everything is ordinary. You know, you have to have power windows. See? But the truth of the matter is, when you think in terms of a human being's needs, this isn't really a need. I mean, you say that's a need. It's really so a person have to go like that. Does that really make a difference in their life if they go like that or if they go like that? I mean, it's basically nonsensical. It doesn't make any sense in terms of what the human being requires and his needs. It's silly. I mean, it's a slight difference. But the point is, let's say you'd even say, I mean, okay, we'll agree it is a slight difference. Okay, so it's a slight convenience. But the question is, if a person would buy an expensive car and find out that they have a roll-up window, they wouldn't be upset in a way that's commensurate with the actual inconvenience. You know what I mean? In other words, they wouldn't be slightly upset. They wouldn't say, well, now I have to go like this instead of that. It would be a tragedy. So it would be a tragedy. Why? Because, you see, that's really where the way the Yetzer Hara works. The Yetzer Hara really, Chazal say, Atzas Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara fools a person. It fools a person because the method that it uses is it attaches itself to some bit of reality. Always attend, unless a person is a sugar. I mean, a normal person will always attach themselves to some bit of reality. And the Yetzer Hara, the argument of the instinctual side of man is always based on some little bit of reality. The only problem is, if you really check into it, you'll see that reality is not commensurate with the reaction. That's where you could tell that there's something amiss. You see, only if you use your seichel to examine it closely and examine the proportions. The quantitative factor is the giveaway. See, that's the giveaway. But people do not do that. People by nature will be satisfied with the qualitative in that case. In other words, as soon as they say, well, there is a basis for being, it's not the same thing. It's true, but is there really, what about the quantitative affect? In other words, the reaction of the person, is it proportional with that which the person is missing? It is, if the person examines it, it's completely out of range. So it is an amazing thing, it's an amazing phenomenon. But that's really where the Yetzer Hara, you want to say the place that the Yetzer Hara really is effective in accomplishing its mission, it's in that area. That I would say in general is probably the greatest area of where a person is fooled, where the illusion takes place, and the person falls into a delusion because of the fact that they don't examine the quantitative factor. The quantity you can overlook and say, well, why are you so upset? Well, this happened, that, it's I try to go, yeah, I got stuck, I got stuck in traffic, it's terrible. Yeah? It could be that there is something to it, but the proportion, it's out of proportion. It's an amazing thing. But basically, that's the whole derech hachaim of a person, is a person loses proportion and perspective. The Yahadus really emphasizes perspective, perspective on life. I mean, I was in the hospital the other day visiting. A person was very sick, the heart condition, very sick. They don't know whether they're going to get up the next morning. So they were sitting over there and looking out the window. It was a nice view. This person had a heart condition. So the family was there. So they said, how are you feeling? He said, well, I'm up today. I could see. I looked out the window. It was a nice view. I can't complain. It's wonderful. It's an amazing thing. It's unfortunate that a person, in order to have that appreciation, the person, in order to gain the perspective, really, the person has to be ill. I mean, it's unfortunate. But when a person, Rahman al-Salam, is in that situation, they gain a different perspective. Really, Chazal tried to inculcate this perspective with the Brechas HaShachar. Sure, a person, when he steps down the ground, he makes one bracha, everything, he opens his eyes, and then everything he does, he puts on his begadim, he does everything they made a bracha for. Why? Perspective. Because these are the things that are really important and that are in line with reality, of what a human being by nature needs. So Chazal instituted brachas to appreciate it, that a person should have perspective. But the problem is, like someone said, people lose perspective in 5 minutes. It's like quickly gone, and the person is unhappy and then fails to appreciate those things which are real, which are really necessities, which are really in line with the person's existence, and they get lost in a world of illusion which is completely out of range, quantitatively out of range, just hangs on a thread of reality. You say, why is this so important? You can give some answer, a thread of reality, but all you need is that thread for the emotions to take charge and to invest energies in those areas. So basically, I mean, that's why Chazal say the Yisur Mamakim Chator Shalom. Why is Yisur? Why do Yisur take away the Averas? It doesn't mean he takes away the Averas. It's not an automatic process. It means if the person learns from it, if the person withdraws and sees, I thought I couldn't live without this. This is not really important. The inner life of the person is really his essence. The inner life of the person, you can't take away. The inner life of the person is there practically, I mean, under all situations. The person can think, the mind, the intelligence, the chachma. I mean, take a look at Rav Soloveitchik. I mean, he's a Musa Haskel for the whole world. A person physically difficult state, I mean, painful state, but you see how he learns, he becomes alive with his chachma, and the inner individual, the essence of the person is alive. I mean, that's godless Adam. It's tremendous godless Adam. But the thing is that the fact is that when a person is confronted with this, when a person experiences something, if the person uses it to withdraw and to regain perspective and to reestablish their energies in the proper area, so then it's a tremendous tolerance for the individual. Yes. That's good. He's right. That's a person that's on that level. So that's why Chazal say, "Kala osa dover misbayish, osa chet misbayish, mochlo kolavan osa." So God forgives him for all the sins. Why? Because what is the most difficult thing for a person to face? The most difficult thing for a person to face is busha, public abuse. Public abuse is the most difficult thing probably for an individual to face. That's something that hits a person a certain way that it's devastating. Devastates the individual. So what Chazal say is that if a person does a chait and is mizbayish bo, it means not just that they suffered the public abuse, but it means mizbayish bo means there's a philosophical busha, which is even deeper than the psychological busha. A person feels that he really did something wrong, so then that means that they can withdraw from the value of the self into the true value system. So it's mochel lo kolavon also. That's it. This person lost all their errors. And the person has reconstructed the self through one event. It's possible for a person to do that. So basically, that's what Chazal is saying. that kalos avem is bayish bo, because that is the most difficult thing. The busha, the man, I mean, see, what do you say in Berchus and Mazen? Shalom nevo, shalom kolem avod. And say there was a Berchus ba'bayish, shalom yevo, shalom avolamazel, kolem avod. And busha is something which a person experiences as extremely, the most psychologically painful, So it depends how the person faces it. If they run away from it, they just can't, they don't do anything with it. So they remain the same person. If the person thinks into it and is able to withdraw and sees this is really not a value, the value is the truth. Value is not what that person thinks of me, the value is what is true. And the person regrets the chet and sees that there is a real busha, that it is not appropriate for a human being to be a chote, because he's doing something which he's undermining his own existence. If a person has that realization, then the person rises to the highest level. This individual rises to the highest level, and this individual is one who is really impervious to most of the tzaras of this world. The person will not bother that person, because he's not concerned about that world. I mean, he's in the real world. He doesn't care what people say. He doesn't care about this. He doesn't care about that. These things will bother him. He removes most of the tzaras of this life. He loses. The gain is unbelievably great. That's the whole Derech HaChaim of Torah. Derech HaChaim of Torah is that the Derech HaChaim is the one which is infinitely more enjoyable, greater, better, more real in every single way. That's what Chazal say when Chazal always talk about schar and shel mitzvahs. So Chazal say the schar of mitzvahs. Chazal say schar of mitzvahs by far. What does Rashi make a cheshbon? 500 times the schar of era. In other words, I forget the exact amount, but. You know, that the schar and shel mitzvahs is so many times multiplied over the onesh of the rasha. Why is that so? Because the onesh of the rasha is limited to the physical. The physical can only experience a certain amount. It's limited. It's intrinsically limited. But the good, which ties into the nitzchius of an individual, is you're dealing with a different entity. I mean, it brings back to the Rambam. Dealing with a different entity. An entity which is capable of the ultimate gain that the person cannot evaluate. So that's what Chazal mean when they say that the Matan Schar Shel Mitzvahs by far outweighs in multiples the onesh of Averis. The onesh of Averis is limited. There's a certain amount of a person's physical body is limited, a certain amount of suffering, and that's it. I mean, a person dies, and it's limited. But the good is basically is tied to the part of the individual, which is infinite. But aside from that, there are so many ways in which the good affects the individual's life in this world, insofar as his own existence, that so many dimensions, freed of most of the tzaras that people have, the problems that people are concerned about. The good, the enjoyment that they're capable of is increased. And the schar in terms of chai olam habo, I mean, we're talking about a totally different dimension, multifarious dimensions of good. So that's so an individual who's mizbayesh from a chayt, that incident could be one which could raise a person to the highest level and give them the greatest life, the best life. Yes. That's great. That's what Michael. Yeah. Gemara Nechem. And the Yisurin is you put your hand in your pocket to get a quarter, and then a dime comes out, a nickel comes out. So it means to say that's called Yisurin. That's called Yisurin. Well, what do you mean by Yisurin? A person wants to get a quarter, and they put their hand in, and they get a nickel. It's Yisurin. What does it mean? It means any frustration in life, even the slightest frustration, can be something that causes a person to reflect on the fact that a person gets the wrong change. They say, "Oh, is that something that's in line with human needs that is deserving of being upset about?" But the answer is it's because of the individual's loss of perspective that causes a person to get frustrated by these things. loss of perspective. So what Chazal say is that any incident, that a person's life is filled with these kind of things, and if the individual uses them in order to reestablish their value system, so then he can rise to Gavlus Adam, greatness. But if he doesn't, I mean, if it just is just a frustration, that's what Chazal say, Boet Bi Yisurim. A person's a Boet Bi Yisurim, the Yisurim not doing him any good. It means he kicks, it means he's upset. Ah. And then it's worthless. Then it's just pain, and they don't really get anything. But, correct. Well, that's what Binyamin's saying. Binyamin's saying is that these are opportunities for Bechira. Now, the exercise of Bechira, these are things that place a person in a situation where Bechira could be exercised. That's correct. And it's built into human life, really, so that the opportunities for Bechira are there. But of course, it's only in a certain kind of individual. An individual has knowledge and who has a value system. A person with no value system is just going to experience frustration. Doesn't get anything out of it. Yeah. What's unique about shame is that shame is the most devastating psychological emotion. Yeah. In that Chazal, there are two things there. One is misbaya. In other words, the psychology of shame is really based upon the fact that all people really, when they live their lives, based upon the need for social acceptance in some form or another. I mean, that is the most powerful force in man. So a person will always judge right and wrong in terms of society. That's why I see different societies. People are amazed. I see different societies where if you don't kill somebody, you feel guilty. I mean, if you remember the mafia societies, and then so how is it possible that in one society is the most dreaded, the horrible thing, the other society is the greatest thing? Because man is basically not, man doesn't live a lifestyle which is based on chachma, but the lifestyle is based on a reaction to the social, what man considers to be a value. That's why Chazal say that what did Chazal say in Masechta Brachos? He said that a person's a year Shemayim should be as great as a year's Bas Adam. Why don't you see a person doesn't have every? He said, I hope nobody sees me. So it means that he's concerned more about man. But that's the nature of a human being. And if a person had, most people are fixed in their, by the, it's very difficult to overcome the need for social acceptance. Busha is where a person is confronted with that bechira, because there he comes face to face with which value system is he going to accept. So that's why it says that if he overcomes that, that's the highest level. That's straight through Chazal. I mean, that a bus of Adam is of Avodah Zarah. What does it say? That chidlu, the pasuk says chidlu lachem min Adam. Cease from man means most of the time a person is preoccupied with what other people think of him in some shape, form, or manner. It could be in the back of their mind, but it's there. You see, whether a person considers himself good or not is dependent upon how he thinks others consider him. Doesn't necessarily mean everybody's be about Gaiva and run for cover. It could be in the back of your mind, but you feel good if you think that other people think I'm good. But if you go against that mechanism, it's extremely painful, extremely difficult. Yes. The only problem with that is, the problem with the nature of chait is that it has a very strong draw. So if a person would say, I'm going to do a chait in order to be embarrassed, I mean, well, first off, they're really embarrassed, so they couldn't do it. Really, they couldn't do it. But they couldn't do it. It's evil. A person cannot do that which he considers harmful. It's evil. It's harmful. And of course, the Echtav Oshev doesn't work because the person becomes attached to it, and it's very, very, very attractive and very enticing and alluring, and the person can't withdraw from it. Yes. I mean, Yisurim is a corrective measure. What does Pasuk say? Pasuk says in Mishlei, Es Hashayehav Hashem Yochiach. So Yisurim is really shows you, it's an expression of Ava, of Kadosh Baruch Hu to the person. But The thing is, I mean, that the person, it's not something that an individual should strive for, because not because of the physical pain involved, but because a person should really not set for themselves a course. When a person is trying to set a course for themselves, you don't set for yourself a course with a pitfall and a correction. I mean, if you have the option to simply have a smooth course, it doesn't make any sense for a person to do that. But if a person has Yisurim, so then a person can benefit tremendously from understanding Yisurim. But when a person sets forth, when a person is a shav, so a person is setting forth a new course, you don't initially set forth a course that's defective. On the contrary, that would lack really in tshuva. That would lack in tshuva, because that would mean the person's expecting to falter. But the individual should really, a person may falter, a person will falter, and tzadik b'ashi yastov le'echta, it's going to happen, but that should not be a part of the person's plan, because that means that the person, that would lack in tshuva in the sense that the person is not really fully attached to the good. You understand what I'm saying? So tshuva really, in tshuva, what a person is doing is a person is uprooting the chait, and they're removing themselves from the chait completely. So therefore, the yisurim shouldn't be necessary in terms of that chait. So when I say, it's not simply because the person is afraid of yisurim. It means it would lack in tshuva, it would mean that the course is one that needs correction. That lacks in tshuva. It's a lack in tshuva. So that's why you say it that's why you say it in Yom Kippur. You say Yom Kippur because of the fact that what you're asking for is tshuva. Is tshuva gemurah. Tshuva gemurah. There's no place for corrective process. That means the person not a fully yeshav. It lacks in tshuva. That's why. Good question. I mean, we're not saying there's no value in Ashiros. That's the other side. We say, I'm not saying there's something wrong with roll-up windows. Power windows. That's the point. See, really, in everything I said, there is a bit of reality in it. And if a person really is a tzadik gomer on the highest level, he shouldn't have roll-up windows. Ain't a chanami. It goes like this. It's much easier. You can think of a swarming time. But anyways, you gotta be careful and drive. So everything in perspective has a value. We're not saying there's no value. What I said is the perspective is lost. Not that there is no value. What do Chazal say? Chazal say, Kelim noim dira no ishanom yashin daitish lodom. So what it means is nothing. But everybody used that Chazal for a heta, for a taiva, basically. But that's not what they meant. Miyashin Dachshon is something. It means in perspective it has a value, but the value is a slight value in perspective. Slight value. It doesn't mean it's not the overestimation. The overestimation is a sickness and a chuli a nefesh. And people always, that's what I'm saying. That people will say, person. I mean, I heard many times a person will indulge in a taiva and they'll quote that chazal. Miyashin Dachshon lada. But Chazal didn't mean that miyashev daito means that there's a das, essentially is a bar das, and there's an accidental feature of a slight amount of yishuv. But basically, that's all the guy thinks about. There's no das; he's a boor, basically. So it's a total distortion of the human being, basically. I mean, the Chazal. You have to understand what Chazal is saying is a perspective. Everything, yes, of course. Even whatever the person needs. I mean, tzedakah, when it comes to tzedakah, you can't be a tzedakah on the other guy's judgment. Yeah, that's a different thing. In other words, there's a public, the public busha removes the person from an attachment to what society thinks of him. It doesn't mean society, by the way. I mean, people make a mistake. I think that society means a society at large. It means your society, whatever society you live in. I mean, if a person could be living in a Hasidic society, so he's not concerned about the rest of the world. That's not his nesayin. His nesayin is what he thinks about the other Hasidim think about. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it means your society. A person's society doesn't mean the society. A lot of people think, I'm a vav of the whole world. I don't care what people think about me. It's not true. They care very much what certain people think about them. It just so happens they're a very small circle. But that circle is extremely great. Maybe small in number, but it's great in power. That is the, that's where the Nisayan is. Again, I mean, that's a person's fooled mentally by the Tzatzar. But that is one thing. But there's another thing of busha, real busha, is alakai boshti v'nechlamti lahorim alakai panai elecha. That's a philosophical busha. That's not social. It's just between him and her bonfire. But he has a shame. He's ashamed insofar as facing his creator, facing the Borei Olam, and what he did with himself as a bria. I mean, that's a different kind of a shame. That's a different kind of a thing. That's a realistic busha. So what Chazal is saying is that if a person's mizbayish, but it means on both levels, basically, it has to be both levels. Both levels, then he can become, he can reach gedula. What does it mean, mokhman law kovon also? It's not a game. It means that whoever takes the list and just wipes them off. It means to say, mokhman law kovon also means he could really become great from that one incident, can be a catalyst for godless. So, but the thing is, I mean, if the individual uses it properly. But it has to be busha on both levels. It can't be just busha. Just suffering social busha is nothing, because then it's just the pain, and then you just wait for the pain to go away, and he's back like any other pain. But if the person is involved in the social busha is starts, but then he realizes that's not important. It's the real busha, the busha he has from standing before the Borei Olam. That's a different kind of a experience, and then the person really is. Removes himself from the false value system. That's what Chazal means. It has to be both. That's a good point. In other words, what he's saying is, if a person has a philosophical busha, doesn't necessarily need the social busha, because they're saying it means that if a person has philosophical busha, it means that that's his sole concern. So therefore, the other busha doesn't necessarily mean he has to experience both. That's a good point. You mean philosopher mizbayish was his mashma that mizbayish b'fnei b'nei adam. It's mashma like that. Is mashmei mizbayish bo, the implication is that he's mizbayish b'fnei b'nei adam. It means because that has a very that's something which can really change his whole relationship to reality. That's something that causes a major change. But every time a person does tshuva of busha. Yeah. That's a general different measure. This is speaking about really a situation where busha really is central in the phenomenon, not just like an adjunct. I'm just thinking out loud, but I think that the question you're raising is really the difference between tefillah and tachanun. So yeah, you have two categories in tefillah. You have tefillah, and then you're mischanin. Rachem Achanim, Chotos Lechem Hashem Olah Rachem, Rachem Alai, Kaltonim, Abach Tarichini, Nivalot Somoi, Venafshi Nivalot Ma'od, Vator Hashem Ad Mosoi. It means to say that there's two kinds of tefillahs. One kind of tefillah is a request. You request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu something. It's a request. Request has to be something which the person thought about. We always say tefillah comes from the word pilel, which means machshava, that a person must think it out and see if it really is a good request and how the best way that it would be, how it would work. It's a serious matter, tefillah. It's not just a reaction, but something should be thought out according to the Yadis. And that's when a person can use tefillah to gain great heights. But that isn't tefillah. But tachanun is something else. Tachanun is very interesting. Tachanun is where a person's asking God to remove the tzoras because of the affect of the tzoras in himself. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, what's the lashon of it? Kinafshi nivla ma'od v'tor Hashem ad mosoi shuvar Hashem chaltza nafshi Hashem l'man chasdecho keim b'mo v'sechrecho yagayti van chosi. It means that my sighing is caused me tremendous grief and pain. Ascha v'cholayla mitasi means that his bed is filled with tears. You see, b'demasi asiyamse, oshisho mikas eini, oskol b'chol tzaroi. His eye became old, stuck because of his enemies. He says, "Sum many kapoy levin kishem Hashem kol b'chir shem Hashem t'knisi yevoshu v'yibol ma'od kol oiva yeshu yevoshu ora." So it means to say that a person has tzaras. There's two dimensions to the tzaras. One dimension is the actual tzara, the reality of the tzara. Okay, but then there's another dimension is the personal reaction. If a person is a nirdof, so the nirdof has one concern is the nirdof. I mean, people are rode of somebody, so the nirdof is worried about escaping with his life, with his money, whatever they're after. I mean, there's a real situation there. So the person has to confront the real situation, and that should be confronted in tefillah. But an individual, a human being by nature, overreacts to situations and it causes an emotional upheaval in the self, which it's true if the person were on a really high level, it's unwarranted. I mean, the person, most of the time, what does Chazal say? A person is doig al olam she'eino. A person worries about things that never happened, never will happen. So a person spends most of his life in a world that doesn't exist, an illusory world, trying to avoid an illusory world. It's true, but apparently from Tachnunim you see a person has a right to be mispalel, that should be removed. It's an interesting thing. That's why it's called Tachanun. Tachanun means for nothing. Because it means that the request is a different kind of request. You could say basically you're not entitled to it. You're not entitled because it's your own fault. The reactions that a person have, a human being, the reactions, they can't control the reactions. So a person is in a tzara, so there are psychological effects, unwarranted. If the person was Kamal Hashar, it wouldn't bother him. A real problem, yes, but then a person would be only bothered by real things. But it's not true, It's a person insofar as he's imperfected, is bothered by side things. Many times that's the worst part of the Torah. Not what really happened, but the fear, the anxiety, the person lives through. I mean, this is means he's experiencing emotional pain. So tachnuna means means to say, what right to have to ask Kadosh Baruch Hu for that? It's your own problem. Perfect yourself, it shouldn't bother you. But apparently a person has a reshus to be mispalel for that too. It's a different kind of tefillah. That's what tachnuna is. That's the tefillah of tachnuna. It's subsequent because, in amido lefnei Hashem, so that the experience of amido lefnei Hashem is not one where a person has a right to reflect upon their own nonsensical state, internal state. It's a time for petition, for a serious request in reality, based upon reality. That's the experience of Amal Lefnei Hashem. That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is the source of all reality, so that a person is in a different world of reality. But afterwards, the person, so that's why it's not Amal Lefnei Hashem, he's really Tachnun is if the Tzivasa. Afterwards, he has a right to add the requests of Tachnunim, which are based upon what he suffers because of his human condition. It's an interesting thing. Tefillah is broken up into two components. The first component is reality. That's a middle of Hashem, and that's not the place for Tachnunim, because that's a different kind of experience. Excuse me? Doesn't bother what? Because that's not Tachnunim. Because then you just use the question of the tefillah is being a kubble. That the tefillah is being a kubble. That itself is a request. Yeah, I mean, tachnun could be the person in the person's own lashon, or lashon ramah, or lashon ramah. V'achakachach tefillah says, Yoshev, Mishchanei Mat. I mean, the greatest answer for the tefillah of tachnunim is if the person rises to high level, doesn't bother anymore. But the tefillah is simply to be removed. It doesn't say, It's not requesting how, because that already belongs to tefillah. So that wasn't the formalized tefillah, and the request is based on reality. But a person has reshus to be mischanein al tzaroso. Afiloni ki yatov. I mean, it's on a tsar, on the fact of yasar, which is based upon the human condition. It's an interesting thing. That's tachmanov. It's a different kind of a tefillah. Different kind of a tefillah. Then it says yeshuvu yevoshu raga. So some say, what is yevoshu raga? So say it means you're not asking for them to be, you're not asking for revenge. Yevoshu raga means quickly. Let them just remove themselves from my presence, basically. That's what it is. Okay, Rabbi says it, and that's why tefillah really tefillah is a constant, but it's not nivcha. Tachnunin. On certain days, you have no right to say tachanun. It's not a day for tachanun. It's not a day for the person to be involved in their personal tzaras. It's nitcha. But tefillah is never nitcha, because tefillah is a realistic experience based upon the concept of milufnei Hashem. Malachei Ashar Yisrael milufnei Hashem. So that's a realistic experience. But tachnunim is because of the weakness of a person, because of the human condition. Tachnunim, asav chaladim demesiyah shiyamsim, he's constantly tormented and crying, and he's undergoing emotional pain and a psychological torment. That's what it is. So there's two times you shouldn't be involved in the torment of the human condition. One is the day of simcha. And by a veil, it's also not, because the person who is already involved shouldn't be machzik that midah. That's the thing. Yeah. On the contrary, it shows a person that you can't always. The human condition, the person has a right certain times, but it's not something that should be constant. It's not a constant. Constant is a midah of Hashem. You have to be able to say that's it. I have no right to be involved in that. And that's it. Can't miss part of that. I mean, just like, unfortunately, you know, certain days basically you're not allowed to be maspid, not allowed to be maspid a mace. So people don't like that. So what they do is they maspid anyways. They say, it's not a real maspid, because it is not that. Basically, 90% of the time, it's the same maspid they give them any other time. I don't see any difference. But the reason is because every person feels that they want to be guaranteed a hesped. But that's precisely why the halacha is not that way. What Chazal says that if a person wasn't nisped kalacha, it's a good sin. Because it means to say that a person has to write. You don't have any rights to it. They don't have a right to it. And that's it. The person has to realize that the kavod adam can be nitcha. Not something which is a constant. And the same thing is with regard to the individual's emotional involvement in their own and in the self. That person has to be able to realize that sometimes that's nitcha. That's it. You always have the right to that. That's reality. Now, the reason why there has to be a connection is because it's tefillah, but it doesn't have the characteristic of omer lefnei Hashem. So therefore, it has to be connected. Otherwise, not tefillah. If it's not connected, there's nothing. That's what mochel kolvan also means, that the averus are gone. Kach Baruch doesn't keep averus. It means the person changes, and it's not the same person. The averus are gone and vanish. That's what it means, wholesale mechila. Yeah. So I'm saying that's the idea. It's true that it's caused by the person. Oh, that's why I got into tachton. I want to show the person has a right to to remove the inner anguish. Yeah. If a person will think about it, most of the taivas of the person's life are not really, I mentioned this many times, not really physical taivas, they're psychological taivas. But there really isn't that much of a difference. It's just that everybody has this, so therefore you have to be in line with it. But it's not really what? It's not really the thing itself. The thing itself is nothing. I mean, like we said many times, if you took a car, if a person had an old car, a 20-year-old car, you think it's a jalopy, right? If you went back 100 years ago and you showed somebody a 20-year-old car you brought in front of a great king, you'd be saying, this is unbelievable. This is amazing. Joy is like, I can't believe it. So it's the hidden world of the relative. The world of the relative is what captivates a person and locks him in and basically destroys his life. I mean, that's what Ram says in Maharaj. It's the world of the relative is what destroys the individual's life. It's not the reality. If a person lives in the real world, they have a great life. And they would rid themselves of 99% of people's problems. But it's a very hard thing to do. It's a rough thing to do. It requires a lot of knowledge, a lot of thought. It's an educational process, and most people don't spend their lives getting educated in that area. They get educated in the means, but never in the end. So there's no chachma in the end, so the person is like a fool. It's and if you ask them, they admit it. They don't know. So it's a strange phenomenon, but that's the phenomenon of Adam. That's man. Predestined ziva, and that's really his ziva. You know, this is his zivug, and it's immutable, and it has to be that way. And certain people, I guess, gain some satisfaction out of that idea because they think that I couldn't have made a mistake. If it's bad, then we have problems. But the get right, and there are different terutzim and different answers that are given. But it's usually for most people kind of a comforting chazal, at least the way they understand it. Okay, so let's take a look at this Gemara, and I think if you analyze the Gemara, I think it really comes out that the Gemara means something totally different than what most people understand it to mean. It's as usual. Most people have attached to it also like a kind of a romantic notion, like romantic. In Lahavdul Goyim have such kind of ideas. You know, the one, the only one, write many, many songs, you know, romantic songs written with that theme. So people, unfortunately, you know, when they hear something that agrees with their emotions and Chazal sound like they're echoing that, they immediately say that's exactly what Chazal mean. Okay. But let's take a look at what Chazal say over here. And what does it is? Amar Shmuel by Rav Yitzchak, Kela Pasach Rech Lakish Besota, Sota of Bez Menalf, Amar Hache, Ein Mezavgin Lo Lo'odom Isho Elo Lefi Masov. That means to say that, well, first of all, I mean, the question is, what do you have to have Ein Mezavgin for? Why don't you just say that a person has Bechira, and he chooses whoever he wishes. Is Bechira. Correct? Okay, so apparently, what the Gemara means is, of course, a person has Bechira to choose, but the Gemara means that in every instance, a person's, the person's choice in every situation, what a person does in any given situation, is really, when you look at the total picture of phenomena that he's involved in, plays a very small role. Very small role. That's why really a person can never attribute hatzlacha to his deeds and his actions, and no one of the models of our Torah throughout Tanakh ever attribute any atzlacha to their own doing, because it's not the matter of anivus, it's a matter of emes, because a person, every individual finds himself in a sea of phenomena, and what you do, if you looked at the entire picture of all the phenomena that took place in order for something to transpire, let's say favorably, you'll see that your doing was just fractional. I mean, you're involved in the sea of phenomena. So it is really shtus and nonsense, not simply gaiva, if a person attributes success to their own doing. It's just, it's irrational, it's not true, it's not real. Too many things have to happen in order for something to take place. Too many phenomena are involved. It's just that a person is a Balgaiva, so he just excludes everything else, and just a little thing, he then attributes it to that. Okay? But it's nonsensical, simply not true. Okay. So that's what Chazal mean over here. Of course a person has free will, but in everything he does, there are so many phenomena that surround the outcome. What about the other phenomena? So sometimes we say they're subject to chance. That's it, like the Rambam says, Ramban. But over here the Gemara says that that's not so. Over here we say that there is a special Ashgacha. Special Ashgacha Hashem. That the special Ashgacha Hashem, with regard to the area of Zivug, and if a person is really tzaddik, then he will... And he acts, of course, with chachma, and acts with chachma naturally, then there is hashgacha, which will help him to marry the right person. Okay, that's what it means. Where it says ein mezavgin lo ba'adam isha ela lefi masav. That's what it means. It means to say there's hashgacha shenema ki lo yenuach shevet haresha al gero atzadikim. Because God does not allow the wicked to rule over or to abide in the lot of the tzaddikim. Okay, so it means what it means to say is basically that over here also there is hashgacha. There is hashgacha that the Rasha cannot have any shlita, any shevet means memshela, any kind of shlita on the tzaddik. Alright, so of course a person would marry an isha that's a emashas, I mean Rasha, so then he's going to be in such a situation where the Rasha is going to be Moshe, and vice versa. Okay, and vice versa. So that's what Chazal say. So therefore, in mezavim lo amisha lefimasa. Okay, kilayinu chshevet the rest of it. It means that's hashgacha. Amar Rabba Baba Chana Rabbi Yochanan v'koshin lezavgun kikriyas yamsof. Okay, it means to say that it is as difficult to accomplish as kriyas yamsof because the pasuk says elokim moshiv yechidim ba'isor motzi asirim b'kosharos. All right, so Rashi explains. He says. Adam yachid v'ishi yachido v'hu mezavgam yachad u'miyashev mehem bias. Alright, so what does the Kriyas Yamsuf mean? It doesn't sound like Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay. And actually the Pasuk, so what is the right from the Pasuk? Because the Pasuk really is talking about Kriyas Yamsuf. So the Pasuk is talking about Kriyas Yamsuf. If you take a look at the Pasuk in Tanakh, it says, "Olkim Moshe v'chidim b'isos." So Rashi Yisrael shayim mefuzarim konsam yachad ish ish minitcho v'oshivim b'yis sholim k'nesiyah shleimor motzi asirim b'kosharos hotzi asishomi mitzrayim b'chodeshu kosher lohochei drachem lochama v'lotzina. Okay, and then it goes on. It says, "Ach sorim shachnu tzchicha." Sorim is mitzrayim shachnu tzchicha v'nishra atzom tziyot tzmeya. So really, the pasuk is speaking about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Speaking about Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the other pasuk also, by the way, the other pasuk is speaking kileinuch shevet hareshal girl atzadikim is speaking about Klal Yisrael. He says Rashi lo yitin akash brachas mamshelus hashoyim lanuch atzadikim leman ki atzadikim nisarim l'shloch yideim ba'avla. He says leman lo yishlechu atzadikim ba'avlosa yideim. Okay, so it could mean tupshatim. It could mean that the tzadikim shouldn't learn from the rishayim, or it could mean also lo yishlechu atzadikim ba'avlosa yideim. It means that when you do battle with a Russia, so you have to use sometimes underhanded methods. So therefore, it means to say that God protects the tzaddik, so you shouldn't be involved in divrei avla. Could be that. I'm not just tentatively saying pshat. But the interesting thing is that these psukim are not talking about yechidim; it's talking about Klal Yisrael. So you see an interesting thing, and that's a derech in Chazal in general, and that is that many psukim that deal with Klal Yisrael also reflects the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha with the Yechidim as well. That's because Klal Yisrael has hashgacha, and a Yochid a Tzaddik has hashgacha as well, and many of the psukim that are dealing with the Klal are also referred to the Yochid as well. Also referred to the Yochid. Same idea. So you're dealing with a klal. So whatever rule there is, if God doesn't allow the klal Yisrael that they should be in a situation where they should be involved with Rishayim, so it means, of course, it's not good for them. The same thing's true of a yachid. So the Gemara says the same thing over here. Now, just like Kriyas Yamsuf took place for klal Yisrael, so too means to say that so too the a yachid can also be zocha for a kind of a private kriyas yamsuf. Okay, he can also be zocha for a kind of private kriyas yamsuf. Of course, I mean, difficult is Rashi says kriyas yamsuf shenishtanu sidre brachos. I mean, this is very difficult. I mean, to say that every time you have a Rashi next Rashi Moshe chidim bais adam yachid yishchidim vumas zavgam yachidim yashiv and bias. I mean, where's the shinui in the seder brachos? I mean, where's the shini and say the bracious? Okay? Yeah. But what it means is, on the surface, what it means is that that the hashgacha is not simply that the tzaddik shouldn't marry someone that's not appropriate, but it means to say that the situations were predetermined. And again, I mean, if a person meets someone, if you look at the immediate causes, they seem fairly simple. But no one knows what the cause, all the previous causes were that were necessary in order to have this, kind of an arrangement. A person could have been, Ziva could have been born, in California. I mean, the type of parents that the person had, all multifarious, many different phenomena that go into the picture in order for the ultimate zivug to take place. And that's really so. What does Rashi mean by Masana Sidra Bereshit? I don't think Rashi means that it's really a kriyas yamsuf like the Rambam says. That's a shinuya teva, but he means Mishana Sidra Bereshit. It means to say that the seder ha'olam of the seder ha'olam that takes place. Normally, people get married and have children and live in different localities, and all these things that are necessary in order for the person to meet the proper zivug. So there, God interrupts the normal seder advarim in the world that existed since Sheish Mei Bereishis for this tzaddik. That's what it means. It means that just like Kriyas Yamsef was a change, but that was a different kind of a change. That was a different kind of an ace, because that was an ace where you actually changed the properties, like the Rambam says, the properties of the, it was a shinui in the properties of the, of nature. Obviously it's not a shinui in the properties of nature, but that's what Rashi is explaining. It's Sidraber. It means the Seder Advarim, which is also naturally a part of nature, the Seder Advarim is interrupted. In order that these two people should be able to get together. That's what the... it's an interruption in the natural law. In order the person should have the proper zivug. Yes? He has them in the normal hashgacha tzaddik. It means to say that, like the Rambam says, that the hashgacha really is subject to variation of degree. Not everything that tzaddik does is under hashgacha. Even the tzaddik. But this area of Zivug, which is really so important, it's because of Vayikras Shimom Odom Biyomi Baram. So really, it's a complementing of the Shem Odom. A person not considered Odom is no Nikra Odom, and if he's not married, so Zivug is really something which is an essential. That's what the Gemara is saying. That Zivug is something which is so essential to a human being that it's like the very essence of the person himself. And whenever the essence of the tzaddik is at stake, is affected, so then hashgacha moves in. Whether the tzaddik has a nice house or not such a nice house, or he drives a fancy car, or he drives a plain car, that's not necessarily under hashgacha. It's not essential. It's a non-essential phenomenon. But insofar as that's the Gemara, really, that's really what the Gemara is focusing, zeroing in on. What the Gemara is trying to say, it's like have a pasach, Masechet Sota, that the concept of zivug is so essential to a human being that it's Chesed Hashem that a person that is a tzaddik has a very special hashgacha that he should have the proper zivug, because it's essential to his very existence. Excuse me. That's why it's a shlita. Exactly. Tuleyanuach. Exactly. Because it means to say that will be part of his lot. If he marries the wrong one, then the rishis will be part of his lot, and that destroys the tzaddik. So therefore, in this case, we could say that there's hashgacha and shinui mi seder advarim from sheishis imei bereishis is involved in the hashgacha. Okay. That's a motzi yechidim, that's what Rashi says, motzi yechidim besa, Adam yachid v'isha yechida. These two people could have been anywhere in the world, but he makes sure that they meet. They could be around the block, but that's the hashgacha, they were around the block. They're able to, in other words, the hashgacha starts from all the way back, and all the chain of events that lead to this marriage, to the zivug, was carefully watched by the Ashgach. That's what the Gemara means. That's in this area, not in other areas necessarily. Okay, yes. Yeah, the fact that the Hashgacha takes place, starts before the person became a tzaddik, is not a kasha. That's the Rambam's kasha, you know. That has to do with God's knowledge is not based on causality. It's a different kind of knowledge. Okay. Our knowledge is all causality, and causality is true, but causality is just looking at the Chachmas Hashem from a kind of a limited view. There's a God doesn't study causality. Okay? So therefore, like for instance, I mean, like we mentioned by Yonah, that Mamuna Hoya Osa Dogmi Sheshmei Bracious, that was Chas Hashem. In the Ashgach of Sheshmei Bracious was pre-programmed a certain kind of a fish that Yonah, when he failed, and he was able to learn about Chesed Hashem. That was so it predated, it's from Sheshmei Bracious, it predated the whole event. So that's a principle in Yehadas, that even though at the time a person is born, you don't know whether it's Tzadik or Rasha, that doesn't mean that God doesn't know. That means he has free will. It's true. But God's knowledge of future events is not the same as a person who would strive to gain knowledge of future events, because man is limited to the knowledge of causality. That's it. Okay. So that's good. That's a good question. Yeah, Rasha's mezavgin ishul fimasav. So Rasha's snul letzadik or prutzal Rasha. Okay. It doesn't mean, it means to say it has to come out that way. The Ashgach is for the tzaddik. But once the Ashgach is for the tzaddik, so then the prutz has to be LaRasha. It's impossible to be otherwise. The statement is a general statement of the phenomena, but you have to know within the phenomena how it works. You understand what I mean? Okay. But Chazal made a more general statement, which is true. And then the Gemara says we have a problem. Why the Gemara says, Aini, it's not so. Vamrav Yudam Arava Boim Yom Kodim Tzius Avlad Baskal Yitzas Vameres Bas Ploni Leploni. So immediately you see that this is not really the way the world thinks. Because we're just saying that the Gemara is just saying it's a good thing, right? That there's an order here to the Zivug. And now the Gemara is saying no, that a Boim Yom Kodim Tzius Avlad Baskal Yitzas Vameres Bas Ploni Leploni, and that's it. And it's not Lefi Masav. So the guy can be a tzaddik and he will get himself a mashas. I mean, that's what the Gemara is saying, right? Yeah, that's Rashi. Ani miav zivug lefi Rasha, lefi Resha schus v'mikodem yitzirasam she'ein no derisho schuso machrizenes zivugo v'imtomar kol gol lefonov. Right, so how could he do that? Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz mir shemayim kenom nasech anida malach mun al heryo notin pipim vilfen makam malafon tipizu mateyala gibor cholosh chocham otipesh Osher Oni, Avol Tzadik V'Rosh Lo Kamalei, De'ein Zeh Bidei Shemayim. Interesting thing. It means innate intelligence. Over here when it says Chacham O Tipesh, it doesn't mean a tipish, what we call a tipish. It means to say the intellectual abilities that a person has are determined by birth. That's what Yehadas holds. In other words, you have a certain limited, fixed intellectual apparatus and abilities, and that's determined by birth. But what you do with them is a different thing. So a person can be less of an intelligent person and can be a far greater tzaddik, and a person can be very intelligent and be a Rasha Gamma. So that's what Gamma really means. It doesn't mean tipesh, a person that's like a tipish. So tipish can't be a tzaddik. Tzaddik has to be a chacham. But it means to say, he might not have the intellectual abilities of a given Russia who is much smarter than him, much more intelligent than him, in the native raw intelligence. That's fixed. But also, it doesn't mean to say that a person that has greater intelligence necessarily has greater chachma. On the contrary, and that's a principle of Yehadas we mentioned many times, the principle of the Ma'ariv Ucha, that chachma requires a certain kind of perfection, because certain doors are closed to an individual, no matter how intelligent he is. If the mind doesn't work in that area, he remains a fool. So So you can have brilliant mathematicians. Life mathematicians are interesting because see some of them are unbelievable in math, and yet in other areas that basically their life was absurd. So intellectual ability and chachma don't really coincide necessarily. Don't really. They can if the driving force is looking for real chachma, then yes. But if not, the person will remain a fool in the areas of life that are really important. Real chachmas. Chachmas Hashem remain a fool. Okay? In other words, what Chazal are trying to say, Aboim Yom Kodem Tzis of Lod, what are they saying that for? What do they mean? What do they mean to tell you? It means it has nothing to do whether he's a Rosh Hatzadik. I mean, it's just pre-ordained, pre-planned. Okay. But that part of the memory everybody's familiar with. The next part, not too many people quote. Because it says, Aboim Yom Kodem Tzis of Lod, Bas Kodem Tzis of Lod, Bas Ploni Laploni. But then it continues, and it says, Bias Ploni Laploni. Soda Ploni Laploni. That's not that romantic anymore. Okay, so but which house he's going to buy and which field he's going to own. I mean, no one had people going around saying, I bought this field, this is my Bashata field. This is my Bashata house. I mean, what? That's right. It depends, yeah, that's right. If he makes a lot of money on it, then it was Bashat. But if he loses money on it, that's it. Forget about it. So you see immediately when you look at the Chazal, there's something different here, something odd, something unusual. And again, Chazal are not really talking about a romantic notion of buying the younger bas plani leploni, because it's bias plani leploni and it's a soda plani leploni. Okay. Exactly, they're not essential. Has nothing to do with it. I mean, it has nothing to do with it. I mean, I don't think that a man's wife would be happy to know that she's in the same status as the field he bought. You know what I mean? The same value. So people, in the, like I said, they extract part of the memory, and the rest of the memory, they, you know, just forget about it. Yeah. And also, the memory is really a negative memory. It's a negative, exactly. Because everybody wants to think that the both memory, according to everybody, there's no kasha altogether. Because Abraham Yomkan says, "Oh, this is the right Bashata one," and of course, she's also a good one. But the Gemara says a contradiction. On the contrary, the first memory says she's good. The second memory says, "Who knows what she can be?" That's it. Okay, you right? Okay. So you see immediately, like I said, that's not true. The Gemara says, "Lo kasha, no problem. Hob izug rishon, hob izug sheni." Okay, zug rishon, zug sheni. Right? So Rashi says, Zug Rishon Lefi Amazel. Okay? Zug Sheni Lefi Masov. The Kosha Lezavgon, and it's very hard to make that Zivag. Why? Lefi She'ena Bazugo. It's exactly the opposite, everybody thinks. Everybody thinks this is Bazugo means that that's the right one. No, on the contrary. The good one is not the Bazugo, and that's why it requires what? It requires Kosha Lezavgon Kriyas Yamsov. Right? So I mean, what's going on in the Chazal? What's going on in the Chazal? I think the answer. What is the Gemara saying? I think basically what the Gemara is saying here is a very simple, straightforward principle. A very straightforward principle. But I don't think too many people are going to be happy with a pshat. Okay? What the Gemara means is like this. The Gemara means, Aboim Yom Kodem Tzias of Lod. If the Gemara had not gone, I would never be able to convince anybody if the Gemara had not gone further than Bas Plon Leploni. But you see, Chazal put in bias ploni leploni, soda ploni leploni. What the Gemara means is very simple. See, Rashi is lefi hamazel. It means to say what the Ram says. That basically, whatever a person does in life, whether he buys a house or he buys a field or he gets married, it's basically according to the laws of chance. That's what it means. Lefi hamazel means according to the laws of chance. That's what the Gemara means. Abon yom kodem tzias of lot. It means that these things are like, right, these are seder bereishis. Everything goes along. It's pre-programmed, like I said before. A person does something, he thinks it was his chachmei bought this house. You know, he doesn't realize that's just a small factor. Basically, what's responsible for him getting that house, where he get the money to get the house, and where, or the whole chain of events, basically, that he's in a sea of events. A person has the tendency to isolate one little thing and think, I did this. It's nonsensical in reality. I mean, there's so many phenomena around you, the causality, and then the person that lived now wants to move, and this and that. There's millions of phenomena, okay? Infinite phenomena. But the person always hears an aloof and he did, that's the center. But it's not true. It's not reality.
So that's why Chazal say, Boim Yom, Karim Tzir Savlad. It means that there's so many phenomena that are responsible for what a person does, that it's all Seder Bereshis. Basically, it's all Seder Bereshis. Okay? And in the things that he does, he insofar as he's not exercising Bechira. And what did we say Bechira is? We said Bechira really is when a person is torn between two worlds. Okay, the world of ideas and reality, and the world of the emotions, the tug of the instincts. That kind of a thing is rare. We said very, 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 very few people are really even involved in Bechira. You have to be on a tremendous level. But before that day, there was no Bechira. Why? Because most people just follow their instinctual psychological patterns. So that's why the Gemara says that basically everything a person does is not just its isha, but even these things. A person gets a house, he thinks, ah, boy, this is min hashamayim, I got this beautiful house. No, the Gemara is saying, it's lefi mazel. Don't fool yourself. It's mazel. It has to do with a lot. It doesn't have to do with you. Okay, it's a boim yom karim tzis of life. This is all programmed from sheshim ebereshis. It's all part of mazel, which is chance, basically. Okay, which is chance. So, really, that's exactly what the Chazal is saying. It's the opposite of what everybody thinks. Exact opposite. But that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara starts off and says, Lefi Masov, that's not chance. Lefi Masov, that is Ashgacha. So the Gemara starts off with the memory and says that a person's Zivug is only Lefi Masov, which means really Hashgacha. So the Gemara says, Eini, it's not so. But you see, all these things in life are really all simply mazel. Okay, all simply mazel that have nothing to do with a person's bechira, in the bechira even, and even if it did, insofar as the bechira is concerned, it's a small little factor in the whole sea of events. So the Gemara says, all Shesh Mebreshes. That's the Gemara says. But except, the Gemara says, except the tzaddik, where it's really lefi mazel. So the Gemara says, you have a contradiction. You have a contradiction. Because one says, the Gemara, it's not the Gemara held. The Gemara never held that everyone is Hashgacha. Never held that way. The Gemara is asking Kasha, how could you even say by a tzaddik it's Hashgacha? That's the Gemara's Kasha. Because you see the other member says, no, it's not true, because there are too many factors involved. So the Gemara answers, Hob Zivug Rishon, Hob Zivug Sheni. What does it mean, Zivug Rishon, Zivug Sheni? So, I mean, I really didn't get a chance to look over the Gemara, but if I remember correctly, I think there's some sheet that it says one is the earlier, Zivug Rishon means younger, and Zivug Sheni means older. That's exactly what Chazal mean. I mean, Zivug Rishon means, it doesn't mean a person has to divorce his wife, and then if he's a tzaddik, he'll divorce his wife to find the right individual. You see, that's not what it means. And Zivug Rishon means in the early years, see, where a person simply follows his emotions and is under the spell simply of romantic emotions, so then he's really not under Hashgacha. That's the Rishon. So just a girl meets a boy and they have a relationship and a regular, normal chain of events in human life, okay? That's simply bar yom. That's just normal. That's part of the system of Seder Mebereshis. Seder Bereshis, that's the way it works. Okay? That's part of life. That's where people project some kind of divine influence. That doesn't exist. As much as the person thinks so, it's just pure imagination. He wants to believe that. But really, it's just like bias and so on. Then there's no difference. That's what the Gemara is saying, basically. You see? But Zivug Sheni means where a person is older, generally speaking. The word is given general terms. Zivug Sheni means where the person is older. The person really became a chacham. And he changed his whole way of living, and his whole inner life underwent a metamorphosis. That individual, that Zivug Sheni, then is Lefi Masov. Zivug Rishon means ordinarily teenagers fall in love, and that's Zivug Rishon. Zivug Sheni means when a person's on a level where they perfect themselves, they change themselves, then it's Hashgacha. That's what the Gemara answers, basically. Okay, so. So that's really, I mean, that really, yeah, okay. So I'll explain. See, the Tosfos Shan says that Zivug Sheni kigon Alma la Almana, avol Bochar Shenasa Almana, Oh, Ipcho is Havik Kimo Zivig Rishon. So, yeah, I think what they mean is like it doesn't necessarily, doesn't really mean that Amon. What it means is, it doesn't mean only in such a case. It means to say in such a case, usually by Amon and Almona, so in such a case, it's not a case where the person is involved in the youthful emotions that overpower people. You see? So that's what he means. He means to say, and he says, or, but if it's Almon, if it's, excuse me, when you say, Bachel Almon or vice versa, so then he says, then it doesn't work. What does he mean to say? He means to say that if the youthful emotions are involved, then it's not, then you can't describe a Dashgar Hanimah. It means to say that when if one of the two are under the sway, that's the Chiddush Taisus, man. Taisus Shantz, that even if one of the two are completely under the sway of emotions, then it's not Ashgah. Then it's not Ashgah. So then that other one can pull in the Tzaddik, and there's no guarantee of Ashgah anymore. But Alman Lalmana means people that have already lived through, and they know that these emotions are really nothing, you see, and they understand their proper place, and the emotion is under the sway of the intellect, of Chachma, then it could work. That's what it means. But I do not believe it means it must be Alma Lamana. I think Alma Lamana is simply an example. I mean, this is a chazal. I mean, you have to interpret a chazal. You know what I mean? It's not simply a... it's not a lach. It's not a lach. That would be absurd. The Kamat person will be sitting and waiting for his wife to die so he could have a good wife. It doesn't make any sense. We don't find such a thing. It means it's a mushel. It's a mushel. Alma Lamana means people have gotten over the emotions of it. But Zivig Rishon is fire. That's just emotional passion. That's not Ashgacha. That's emotional passion and Ashgacha are mutually exclusive. And that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what it means. V'kosha l'zav gon l'fishena bazuga. What does bazuga mean? Bazuga means naturally, according to Seder Bereishis, there's bazuga. That's the way it's going to work out. God knows every particular. Every particular. And that's what we say all the time. We say, even though we maintain that there's a general system of Hashgacha Kalalius, this does not mean, that's apokrosis. It'd be fair to say that God does not know or lacks knowledge in any detail of anything that exists, even the smallest, minutest physical detail. Okay, because there were philosophies that maintain that God is too great to be involved in particulars. That's not, this does not hold that way. Yeah, this holds on contrary. Every is difficult, and as much as philosophers grapple with that problem, and on the whole we're unable to resolve how it is, but we know that the Chachmas Hashem is something totally different than our Chachma. We're not in a position to engage in such a realm. But we know from Nevuah, different Nevi'im, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows every single particular. That was Bilam HaRosher. His philosophy was God doesn't know certain things. That's it. What if I say Mispar's Rova Yisrael? So Bilam HaRosher says, what kind of thing is this? God knows every sperm and every it's not Lefi Kvodo. But Yadis denies that. Yadis maintains, on the contrary, that you cannot take away any knowledge of any particular from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, that's what it's saying over here, that it's Eino Bazugo, because Bazugo means that God knows every single particular and how it's going to work out, and Bazugo means that's pre-planned from Seder Advarim from Bereishis, and even though it's so difficult to make changes and manipulate things so that the Zivug of the Tzidkis, of the Fimasov should take place, nevertheless God does it. That's what he wants. I mean, Mark is saying that Ben Shmaris of Chuppah would seem to say that that it's not Lefi Masav. It could be that's a Gemara holds. I mean, you have a mitzvah, you can't help it. mitzvah is Shmon Esrei. Okay, what are you going to do? I mean, if the person is on the high level, so it'll be Lefi Masav. But usually speaking, he's not. Nope, that's a problem. But you can't mitzvah a mitzvah. Why do people say Mazel Tov? They really should. It says Chazal say Ain Mazel Yisrael. On the contrary, Yisrael is on the Hashgacha. So why don't they say Hashgacha Tov? instead of Mazel Tov, right? It could be it's based on this Chazal. Comes out Mazel Tov's an insult. Means the best we can hope for is good luck. That's the best. That's that you hit the right, because Ziva Grishin is Lefi is Lefi a Mazel. So we can only hope that you know that it was a, you can have a good Mazel too. You can have a good Mazel too. I mean, I guess really in line with Chazal. That's what you're saying. That really Ziva Grishin. And Ziva what? That's exactly what we know. It's Ziva Grishin. And therefore, it's totally in Mazel. We hope it's good.